Yeah. Welcome to season 5 of Sessions.
Yeah, it goes like this right here.
This is the year.
Like,
we get it.
Niggas always be hollering peace.
Season 1 was fun. Season 2, it was cool.
Every time I try to get a piece
season
of mine.
Season 3 was crazy.
Niggas try to get a piece of mine.
And season 4,
so I gotta grab my piece.
Got us ready.
It's the return of the gangsta. Gangsta.
This is the year we return to high stakes. This is the year we get our own place. This is the year we pay back every motherfucker we owe. This is the year. Poker session 19 of 150. Where am I? The lead up. Last you heard, I left Ocean's 11 around 5 a.m. on Sunday, February 20th, and I drove back to my granny flat in my trusty old Toyota 4Runner. It's a 2003 or 2004, I'm not even sure. What I am sure of is that it doesn't smell like it's about to explode after it climbs the steepest fuck country hill upon which this granny flat sits atop. And I won't be climbing the steepest fuck country hill soon. I got notice to vacate. The man above needs the granny flat for someone in his family. And yeah, so that's about to not be a part of the story anymore. Anyways, I tried to sleep and I couldn't sleep. And so I did some relaxation practices also, which work your core muscles, highly recommend, and I was able to sleep a little bit. I just can't sleep because I'm too spun out. I'm working every day like I always have, but I'm not getting that escape. I'm not watching anything at night. I'm not betting on any sports. There's no fucking time. I just work until I fall asleep, and that's on me. It's just poor time management. It's poor planning. I plan this year like shit, and I just, whatever. I gotta get through it. And so I finally got up and made some coffee, and I had to record something real quick, and then I ate a little bit, and then I had a poker rags meeting, and then I had to pack up and clean up very quickly and race to the airport because I was flying to Las Vegas. And I got up there, and I pounded a beer. And then I got on the plane, I got an aisle seat, and I got my ear pods. They're not called ear pods, they're called AirPods, but I got them in my ears, and I can hear the flight attendant, the steward, is being fucking weird on this Southwest flight. He's using different voices, he's trying to be funny. It's a pet peeve of mine. When anyone's trying to be funny, I don't dig it. It doesn't make me... It makes me cringe a little bit, and that's why I can't even watch stand-up, unless it's someone, you know, really fucking funny. But anyways, he's trying to be funny, and then he's saying they will come by and ask us if we want anything to drink or a snack, but he said, you know, it's just a short flight. Don't get any snacks. They'll give you gas. He's just trying to be funny, but also discourage people from ordering something. It's a really weird vibe. From this steward, and I know that's the politically correct term, steward. So that's what he is, and whatever. We get up in the air, and we start going, well, you know, we're pretty high up there. They're already walking down the aisle saying, does anyone want a drink? Don't get a drink, but does anyone want a drink? And I said, yes, I'll have a water. And I'm thinking, this gentleman's walking, and I'm in like the fifth row, and I need to take a piss, because I pounded a beer before I got on this plane. So they're walking, I'm walking. I go up there. I used the lavatory, and not a lavatory, but a lavatory, and just real quick, and yeah, we're going up, but so what? I exit the lavatory, and I get the dirtiest look from the steward, which is the politically correct term, and then I'm getting back to my seat, and he's on the mic again, and he's really complaining about people standing up. We're still going up, it's dangerous, this and that. And he's really tilting, and he's just the most clueless, no customer service, self-absorbed, nit steward you can find. And the old me would really fucking hate this guy. And the new me just has an understanding for him. He just is fucking clueless, and you just gotta laugh, right? And so I got my laptop out. I get my water. He begrudgingly hands me my water and a bag of, you know, airplane snacks, which I bring back to my son. He loves them. So I break out my laptop and I work. I worked on the what became a two-parter, the poker session 18 of 150. I don't even know what that one was called, but it became a two-parter, and that's what I worked on. And then, you know, we start heading down. It's time to put your laptop away. So I do, and we land, and the princess picks me up, and she's stressed out. She's, you know, moving all our stuff in Las Vegas from an apartment she's lived at for over 10 years to a casita that's being renovated, and she's the one doing the renovations, and we're going to stay on David's compound, and we're going to just rent out his casita, and that's stressful, and I know that, and I'm doing that as well here in San Diego, trying to find a place and all that, and I just have, you know, many other things going on, but I can relate to her stress. We go to Shibuya, our favorite restaurant, and I just, why am I putting that in here that she's stressed? Because I don't like stress, you know, it's, I can handle it kind of well, especially when I'm around her, it kind of goes away, but I just noticed a big difference in her, and it's not healthy for her, and whatever. Come back, do my favorite thing, that's nice, and we head over to the Bellagio, and then we do her favorite thing, we grind the slot machines at the Bellagio bar, the poker bar / sportsbook bar. She loves to grind those slots. It's relaxing to her. That's real. And I'm drinking, just beer after beer, whatever, cocktail, mixed it in. And finally, it's time to play some poker. And this is not how I drew it up at all. So I think poker session 18 was called Not How I Drew It Up. And it's just true. I mean, I've known for a very long time, you don't play poker on travel days because you're going to have jet tilt, if not jet lag. And you just don't. It's best to play poker. No, it's debatable. Because if you play poker in the day and you play sober, people aren't going to want to play with you and they're not going to give you endless action. But if you can play at night and drink and whatever, you're going to get endless action. It's bigger. But either way, you shouldn't play on days you traveled and worked, right? I woke up. I got no sleep after working all night the night before at Oceans. And then I worked. I recorded. Then I did a Poker Eggs meeting. And then I fucking raced down the airport. All that shit. And, you know, got to Las Vegas. And had some beers while she's grinding slots. And now it's time to put in the session. This is not how I drew it up. I thought this year was going to be a few notches more chill than last year. And it's not at all. Not yet, at least. I don't know how I can rectify that. Maybe when I'm settled in a place in San Diego, maybe when I've registered my new car or my new old car, all that. I don't know. But luckily, it's live poker and not online poker. So I could still win, even though I'm going in the way you're not supposed to go in if you want to win. Let me take a sip of this Coke Zero, and I'll tell you about the session. The session. At 1:55 a.m. on Sunday, February 20th, 2022, I sat down in a 5-10 no-limit game at the Bellagio. I had $3,000 on me, and I just got, I had the chip runner give me $3,000 in chips. I had the floor lady do it, and I gave her a $10 chip as a tip. That's just some old-school shit. They don't always earn their tips these days, but they used to, whatever. And I used to, $3,000 is not a lot if you're playing 5-10, and it's going to be 5-10-20, of course. And I used to, you know, just feel that when I was buying in. Not on this night. I've been doing pretty well, and I do have, you know, I didn't mean to come off like I was bitching about my life, because my life is going in the right direction. I'm just trying to tell the story of how overwhelmed I am with work. And, but I'm not going to worry about the money as much until I downswing, and then I'll start to feel that again. Anyways, I sit down in the 5-10 and fuck the one pro, and the game racks up. And I know some people think this is funny, It's fucking real. People don't have any fucking heart. They don't want to battle. That's just the truth. That is just the eternal truth in live poker. A lot of people know how to play poker. Most people don't have fucking fire burning inside of them. And they leave. And that's good. I don't want them in my game anyways. So I post my big blind. And the Venetian grinder is in the game. Not the Vietnamese super grinder, but another guy who once left with a girl when I was playing against him. And he plays, you know, pretty okay. Anyways, he's moved up to 5-10 at Bellagio. That's the next step after Red Chip Hell. It's either win 2-5, where I've played with him. Remember, he was fucking, he was a poker corpse one night. Win 2-5 is similar to Bellagio 5-10. Yeah, they're pretty similar. I think Bellagio 5-10 is a little bigger because it becomes 5-10-20 a lot. And the win is 2-5. And yeah, you can buy in for the same amount, but whatever. The pots are bigger. Bellagio. So he's moved up in the Las Vegas hierarchy of poker. I think the lowest, you can make money at 1-2 or 1-3 because the rake's not insane. In California, good luck. But then there's 2-5, and then there's 3-5, which is a little deeper and plays a little bigger, and that's what that guy was playing. And then you play 2-5 to win, or you kind of go up to the next level, which is Bellagio 5-10, and then from there you can play the bigger 5-10s, the Aria or the win, and then you can play the 10-20s and all that. And I've been trying to level up for fucking 5 years, and every time I started to play bigger, I've got whacked. You've heard the story if you've been listening for a long time. Just get the money in good and get fucking whacked. Play 10, 20, 40 at Ocean's 11, get it in good, you know, with aces against an open ender, run it twice, lose both, whacked, that kind of shit. Anyways, I've made a conscious decision, if that's what, that's probably not the right way to say it, but I just don't want to play 2-5 anymore, or even 3-5 if I don't have to. I want my baseline to be 5-10 because I need to start playing bigger soon. I need to get used to those swings again. I need to fucking deal with it, right? And so this guy has leveled up too. You know, maybe he's on a heater. Maybe he came into some family money. When you see a pro move up levels, it's not always that they binked something. You know, sometimes it's they came into some family money. Who knows? But he limps. Wow, this is a long hand history. On the big blind, he limps, and I have red eights, and I pop it, and he calls. And it comes ace, jack, queen, and he limped the small blind. Ace, jack, queen, and he checks, and I check with eights. And it turns an X, he checks, I think he's calling me, I check back, and the river's a 10. Ace, jack, queen, X, 10, he checks, I bet 50 into 60, he thinks and folds. So, I don't know, I like how I played it. I have eights in the big blind. He completes in the small blind. I pop it to 30. He calls. Ace, jack, queen. I'm just checking my eights here. I don't like betting with, like, no equity. And, then it turns an X, and we check, and the river's a 10, and now I bet 50. And this is not a bluff line. I mean, I'm bluffing, but it's not a bluff line at all. It's someone who had a king and was just some, like, king jack or king queen, and now has made a straight and is betting 50, and he's going to fold an ace or whatever he had. I liked it. And then on the next hand, I'm the small blind, and it folds around to me. So this is not the best game. And if it's folding around to the small blind, that's not a great sign. And I want to open. And the old man on my left, he's an old Russian man. He wants to chop. He says, chop. And I said, no, you know, no, man, we're shorthanded. And like, I just got off a plane. And he just gives me like these eyes, like, please chop. And I respect my elders. And I said, you really want to chop? And he nods his head. And so I say, fine, chop. And this man's name is Vladimir. And he will be an important character in this story, this little short story called Where Am I? And I guess every drop is a short story. I tell the story of my life, the story of the session I played. And why is this one called Where Am I? Because when I wake up, and I've mentioned this, I think, on the Raising the Nuts interview, when I wake up, I never know where I'm at. I don't. I have, not only do I sleep in different places, you know, multiple places each week, I also have a crazy schedule where sometimes I'm going to bed at 9 a.m. in Vegas, sometimes I'm going to bed at 8 p.m. in San Diego, and sometimes I fall asleep on my couch, sometimes in my bed, sometimes in Vegas, you know, sometimes on the plane. I never know where I am when I wake up. And that's real. It's I'm disoriented and it's a little scary. And I don't think I can maintain this pace for too much longer without causing some damage to, you know, my brain. But yeah, I do. I wake up like it's right now. It's Saturday night and I'm in the granny flat and I had my kids last night. My son didn't let me sleep. So I just wrote all night. Cause I couldn't sleep and he came in my room and then I took a quick nap and took him to opening day baseball and we went and got some moving shit and I dropped him off and then I slept and now it's time to work. But when my, when I woke up in my room, I had no idea where I was. And then the other thing is, I don't know who's with me, right? Every time I like cover myself up and open my door and look at the bunk beds, like, are my kids here? No, they're not. I dropped them off earlier and I don't know. This is fairly new. It used to be pretty quick where I could figure out where I was and it's just, I don't know. And that's why this is called Where Am I? Because I just don't know. My head is spinning. That's just the motherfucking story. So this guy, Vladimir, this older Russian man, who really wanted to chop my small blind versus his big blind. He'll be an important character in this little story called Where Am I? Okay, so I open A7 of Hearts to $30, and now Vlad takes 30 minutes to go to 150. He did not take 30 minutes to go to 150, but he took a long time. He went to 150, and I folded, and I paid time. And then next note is semi-bluff in the face of weakness, and it gets through. So do you want to always semi-bluff? Well, not if you think your opponent's strong and you're just torching it unless you're setting a price, but that's different. And no, you don't. But if someone's weak, go ahead and semi-bluff. And you know, because they're not going to pay you off if you hit. If they're strong, they're not going to fold now and they will pay you off if you hit. If they're weak, they'll fold now and they won't pay off it. So you semi-bluff. Basic shit, right? And then the game breaks. That was quick. So one of the several games, you know, around 2:15 a.m. or whatever, breaks. And I'm first up for the 5-10, and I go to the 2-5. And, you know, I lose the drawing or whatever the fuck it is. Or no, it's just they go by order. It was a must move, I guess. And in the 2-5, there's a couple at the table. And there are a couple that I've played with at another casino. And I won't say which one. I don't want to identify them. But they're on one, which is interesting. They're usually not on one, but they're on one. Maybe because they're in Vegas. A lot of people go to Vegas and try some substances or whatever. The mouth movements are like horses munching hay at 2x speed. And so that's on one. And I've fucking been there. I have. And so it's just interesting to see. They're very normally very composed or pretty composed, or at least the woman is, and she's got that mouth movement going. And as fast as their mouths are moving, grinding, the game is slow and depressing. I wrote like the movie Schindler's List. And then when I was reviewing my notes, I searched for other depressing movies because I didn't know if that was appropriate or not to use Schindler's List here. But then I decided it's just art. It's just what came out. I think people know I'm not a fucking dickhead. And I don't know if it's offensive or not. But I don't know. Well, this might be offensive too. The young black guy in my game, he has no game. And I'm not talking about poker. He's trying to spit at the dealer. And there's some like hot young dealers at Bellagio. If I wore a younger man's clothes, and you know, which I do, but if I was actually young and single, yeah, there's a lot of young, good-looking dealers. And well, he's trying to spit game, but it's just really weak. And that's just a note. And then there's a guy at the other end of the table with a southern accent, and he calls this young black dude in a hand, he calls him boy. Oh my God, man. What did I sit? This is the worst 2-5 experience of my life. And the conversation at the table is absolutely horrible. And this is a toxic table. And I don't know. I wrote, this makes Red Chip Hell seem like a high roller. So No one's playing any like poker that makes any sense. There's a good-looking young dealer in the box, and you know, two people are trying to hit on her. The guy that called the young black dude boy is trying to hit on her, and the young black dude's trying to hit on her, and neither of them have any game. And I don't know, the cleavage woman from Caesar's Palace is there, and she's walking around. She's not cleavage tonight. Just a really thin young Asian woman, and she's walking around. And I realize she's a poker room spy. So this is what she was doing at Caesar. She's just always looking for the best game, and I guess she's going to get away with it better than a dude would. But either way, it's a bad look. And yeah, I wrote the racist has even worse game with the dealers than the young black dude. And it's really not hard. I think it's just not hard to have game. You just be yourself. That's it. Be yourself. Engage. I don't mind giving out some strat. Not being yourself and trying too hard is whack. It's not going to work, right? So engage, but don't try too hard. Be yourself. Smile sometimes and be funny if you can. And that's it. That's game. And I don't. These guys don't have it, but at least they're good tippers. So they're tipping the shit out of this pretty dealer, and I guess that's good. She has to, you know, deal with their pickup attempts, which are pretty bad. And so she should get paid for that. And she does. And I'm just folding. And then there's another lady. There's a lady in my game, and she slow rolls. And I don't know if it's intentional or not. She slow rolls somebody. And I get, it's just the worst. It's just the worst vibe that you'll find at a poker table. Sometimes you have a fun vibe. Sometimes you have a vibe like this. I'm not going to try and cultivate this game because I'm first up for the 5-10 and you got to pick your battles. So I get called for the 5-10, and now my beer is empty. I have a glass from that bar, you know, that's kitty corner to the sports book and the poker room. And I had a Sam Adams in there, I believe. And it's empty now. And I think about leaving it in my seat when I leave, just because it's just such a disgusting environment. Why not just leave something? And I don't do that ever. And that's kind of a pet peeve of mine. I always, if I'm leaving a seat, I clean it up. Like, you know, whatever I have, my trash I take with me. And I don't know. I did not leave my glass there, but I kind of wanted to. So let me take a sip of water now, and then we're going to play 5-10 again. All right, so late night 5-10 at the Bellagio. And the first note is standard bluff. So it's just a, you know, a card comes where it's, you know what your opponent has and you can't bluff, and then a card comes where you can bluff and you do. And then I did a 2x bluff with 4-3 on king, 9, deuce, 9, 10. So I don't believe that's standard. But, yeah, just betting twice the pot on the river against someone, you know what they have, and sometimes you do get to win because you know what they have. Not always, but, yeah, just, that's how I started off this 5-10, and the entitlement, things aren't going like poorly for me in this session, but the entitlement is there. It's so real. Once you get a taste of running good and you know, picking up good hands, and then you get back to, oh, well, that's just a little mini heater. The reality is you're just going to sit there and look at dog shit most of the time and miss flops and all that. I'm tilting. I'm just folding and tilting a little bit, and, you know, not overtly, and not, you know, grossly, but it's definitely there, and that's entitlement, and I don't know, you see everyone exhibit some of this, right? If you've been around at all, and you've run hot at all, and you, even if you haven't run hot lately, you just see someone running hot every time you play, and it's just there, and now the game's going to get a lot better, because a drunk pro is going to sit down. Yep, a drunk British pro named Sam is going to join our game. And he's the British worm, if you will, because his friend is sober British pro on my direct left, and that would make him the British Mike McD. And this is not to be confused with the Aussie worm and the Aussie Mike McD. Those guys aren't here on this night. But the British worm and British Mike McD are here. The British Mike McD is on my direct left, and the British worm was kind of wandering around and got a seat in our game, and he's been overserved, and it's funny. Poker has gotten so bad. Like, even at 5'10", that, like, the spots these days are drunk pros. It's someone that came over here, and he said he'd been here for, like, 3 weeks. And they probably played great for his first week, and then probably said, this is boring, let's go out. And then probably second week didn't play as great, and this is third week, and he's probably just on a bender. And these are the new spots in poker. It's a drunk pro. I've been that spot many times. The drunk pro has too much money and, you know, playing in a capped game, and it's a nightmare. So he's in. His name's Sam. He's awesome. And it's time for my worst play. Okay, so the streamer pro, the guy that watches streams, he used to watch Live at the Bike, now he watches Hustler Casino Live, and he plays pretty well. He's always at Bellagio 5'10", and he limps under the gun. And I have ace-king, and I go to 40, and it folds back to him, and he calls. And the flop comes jack-9-deuce, and he checks, and I check back. And I really don't like this check back here. It just sets you up to lose the hand. And I'm not thinking about his range enough. And he is pretty good. He doesn't fold the best hand a lot. And he's pretty good. But what am I doing? I'm just kind of pouting, I guess, that, you know, I didn't get a better flop. And there are so many better flops than Jack 9 Deuce. I check back, the turn's a 10, two clubs, and he bets small. And I call, right? I got two overs and a gut shot, and I could be ahead. He could have some draws and whatnot. And the river's an X, and he checks. And I just check back, trying to get the showdown, and he has pocket threes. And he can't believe he won. He says, what? And probably because he's played with me and he knows you don't get to usually win with threes there. I just played the hand like a shithead. And that's the only way to describe it. I definitely should be betting something on the flop. And then when the turn comes out, I should probably be betting again. And I should probably be realizing this guy's under the gun limp and call is, you know, little pocket pairs a lot. Because it makes sense to play them like that, you know, against most players. And I don't know, it's my worst play. Glad we got it out of the way early. And I'm going to play better starting right now. And I am the big blind. And yes, we have the straddle on immediately. The British Mike McD is just a really cool dude. And so is the British Worm. And I'm straddling, they're straddling, other people are straddling. The only person not straddling is Vlad. And that's okay. And you can get away with it if you're an older man or a woman that's not going to be, like, you know, a favorite in the game. Sure. The rest of us are straddling. So it's 5-10-20. I'm the 10, and I have king-7 offsuit, and it folds to me. And I go to $70 with king-7 offsuit, Kevin. And the British Mike McD goes to 200, and I'm sitting right next to him, and it seems like he has rags, just like the real Mike McD had against Johnny Chan, and, you know, at the fucking Taj or whatever. And so it seems like he has rags. I have rags, and I posture a little bit. I'm just relaxed. I was a little tilted, but I'm just relaxed from running good lately and having, you know, running good in not just in poker, but in my other professions for sure. I've run super hot in commentating and podcasting. So I'm just calm here. It seems like he has rags, and it's easy to fuck this up against a good player out of position. Well, I just posture and, you know, I talked to him a little bit, and I'm like, I think I might say, like, you have rags or something. And the British Worm, my boy Sam, says, I want half your action. I want to chop this with you. He thinks I want to battle his buddy, and he wants half. And I say, no, no chop. And I go to 520 very calmly, and we're not super deep. And his friend folds. The British Mike McD folds. So it's like if Johnny Chan actually came over the top one more time and Mike McD folded. That's what happened here. And I show my cards to Sam. I like this. If there are two buddies at the table, and I get along with these new pros, actually. The foreign ones, I get along with them pretty great. And that's a generalization. I think I've gotten along with every British person I've ever met. It's almost like I should be from there. They're very sarcastic. They like the sauce a little bit. And I really got along with the Australian kids the time before. I've got along with some Italian pros, but some I haven't. And most Spanish pros I think I have, and whatever. It's not important to generalize. It's not important to be racist, I don't think. Anyways, I show the friend. That's my thing. I bluffed you. I'm going to show your friend. And I know your friend is not going to tell you because he's going to respect it. And he's been drinking and I'm drinking. Let's go. Okay. And this is a case of being able to play better against better players. All the ridiculous shit you ever hear in poker, there's some truth to it. Like the whole betting to see where you're at, and people make fun of that. I'll tell you right now, everyone's favorite poker player does stuff to make his opponent tell them where they're at. It's a combination thing. It's not only to do that, but that's built in. And it's built into my game too. It's just information's important. Like if you can just see your opponent's cards, you're going to do well, right? Well, if you can't see their cards, you can build it into your game and you do stuff that tells you where you're at, right? It tells you what your opponent has. It's combined with some other shit that you're doing, right? Anyways, so, oh, he's doing that series that, and it's a joke, and I make that joke all the time, but there's some like little fraction that's of truth to that. And another one is move up with the respect your raises. And it's true, you can do more things the bigger you play. I do better the bigger I play because I bluff incessantly. And if I'm playing against someone who has less than $1,000 in front of them, it's going to be hard to get that through. It's going to be harder to get that through. If somehow I can get back to where I was, where we have 5K in front of us, it's going to be hard for them to win a hand. And that's the difference. And also, I'm able to play better against better players because I know what they're doing. And so I know he is 3-betting super wide here and probably folding a ton to a 4-bet. So I 4-bet the king 7 opposite and I showed his friend. And there was another 5-10 that was amazing. It was so loud and looked awesome and it just snap broke. And that means they were all targeting one or two guys and that person busted or left. And that's how that goes. And so we're going to have the last game because now we have the fun game and we get Google Cloud. That's who we get. So a guy wearing a fleece says Google Cloud and he's wearing a mask and you don't have to wear a mask and he's young and that sucks. It sucks because we got someone who's going to play well. But he comes in, he says, sure, I'll straddle. And he straddles and I like this guy right away. And what? Sure. Yeah, no problem. So Kanye wanted to pitch in, and I like that. We got a culture of teamwork in this granny flat for the most part. And anyways, I was card dead for a little while, and I'm trying to tell the story of the session. And when I say I was card dead for a while, if I say that in a session where I go in fresh, and that means I was actually card dead for a while. But this is part of the reason you don't want to play after you traveled. You're just impatient. And so if you have to fold 5 hands in a row, it's the fucking nightmare, right? And yeah, so I don't know. Well, thank you, Kanye. I saw your new girl, man. She looks a lot like your old girl. Like Kim. Okay. So I got to take a piss. And I look at the 20-40 game. So sometimes there's a 10-20 game, and then they make it 10-20-40, and then sometimes they make it 20-40, and it looks horrible. And there's a player up there sitting with all the money, over 100,000, and that's a player named Yo Viral. And I know him as Johan. And when I was approaching the bottom in life, I used to play with him all the time. And we always got along, and he was a very aggressive player, and we talked about playing heads up a bunch, and we never did. And then when I see him, I think back to the one time I say that I've played a ton of heads up, and maybe a couple times I've been so overserved or so tilted I was a dog, but the one time I know I was a dog was right before I hit rock bottom. I played Sam Severall, the high roller guy, heads up. I was sitting in some game with him at the Bellagio, 10-20 or 20-40, and I outplayed him in some hand, and he said something, and I said, well, let's go play heads up. And I was really close to hitting rock bottom. I was a total shit show. I was on some Adderall and all that, and we went over to the Encore, and I just kind of was falling apart in all ways, and he kind of, he didn't win, like, maybe he won 10K or something, but which, you know, I'm sure we were playing big, so it wasn't the end of the world. But that's, when I look back, that's the one time I know I got outplayed. And, you know, he's obviously a very good player. I like my heads up game a lot. And I don't know, maybe I'll play him again sometime if I ever have enough money to pique his interest and I'm not approaching a rock bottom. So this is just what goes through my, you've been around forever and, you know, you walk by, you see the big game and you're going to be interested because you used to be in that all the time and you see players used to. And so Johan has risen. He's Yo Viral now and he's a celebrity of some sort. He won some award, I think. And so he rose from when I used to play with him and I crashed, as everyone knows by now. But I'm slowly rising again 5 years later, and I am slowly but surely I'm starting to rise, and I'm only one, maybe like two levels away from playing in that game. I guess the next level up from 5-10 Bellagio would be 5-10 Encore or Aria. I don't like playing at the Aria, so I would just go to, you know, the no cap 5-10, which is 5-10-20 a lot, and then start playing in the 10-20-40 again. And slowly but surely, I'm getting there. I'm starting to get my swagger back. I'm less in my head. When I'm not in my head, I just read it and go, oh, people are fucked as long as I don't run bad. And on some nights, that's the case. Like this night, I'm kind of just going like that King 7 offsuit. If you're shell-shocked and poker PTSD and you open a 70 and the guy goes to 200, you like, you fold or you call, calling's just the worst. But no, you just know what it is. And so you go to 520, but you do it very calmly and posture and all that. Anyways, I get back to the table and perhaps I'm a little too ambitious. I want to get back up to the top, and I three bet the British worm, which is Sam. And he was opening every hand and he was folding the three bets. Because he knows that those are strong in Vegas, but he's already going to know. I already showed him the King 7 offsuit. It's bad. He shipped it, and I folded. And he showed Ace King, so I did run into the top of his range, but it's pretty unnecessary to be three betting the drunk guy who you already showed that you four bet King 7 offsuit to. But also, it can work in your favor. And, meaning I three bet something that wasn't great. It can work in your favor is because they'll think, well, he showed me a bad hand, now he's three betting, he must have a real hand. Whatever. You don't get in leveling wars with guys who are intoxicated, but it's kind of $200 I lit on fire. But this game is playing big, and who gives a shit? I open the button with King 8 offsuit, and the British Mike McD goes to 200, and the small blind folds back to me, and I fold. So this is the difference. I thought he was strong here. I didn't think he was strong in position when I went to 70 and he went to 200. No, I didn't. Just something about the timing, just the vibe, the energy coming from him. He wasn't strong, and I went to 520 and he folded. Well, here, he's strong, and I'm in position with a slightly better hand, King 8 as opposed to King 7, so Kate, not Kevin, and I folded. And I'm playing pretty well overall in this session, and because I'm relaxed. Maybe relaxed. I'm just not feeling the poker PTSD because this year I've run hot a few times and overall run above the variance equator, no question. But that's how that goes. Now I call a raise with Jack 5 of spades and someone bets on the flop and it's a pro type and I don't believe them. And I just call and it just looks like a C bet. And then they check the turn. I just bet small and they fold. Now it's time for a hand against Vladimir. And this is a 60-ish, mid-60s, very in shape, very nice Russian man named Vladimir. And he wanted to chop when I first sat down when I was a small blind. He was a big blind. He really wanted to. And he plays like, you know, kind of an older man will. And so he limps, and I'm the small blind with 9-7 offsuit. And it's, you know, I didn't come here to fucking just nut pedal. I got 9-7 offsuit. I got to get rid of the British Mike McD in between us. So I raised to 60 in the British Mike McD folds. And now I got someone with a strong range, but a high threshold for stacking off, or a, yeah, that's, he's just not going to stack off. He's not going to put in a lot of money without a really good hand. Well, I went to 60 and he called, and the flop came ace, jack, deuce. I checked. He checked. The turn was a five. I bet 60. I have 9-7, mind you. And I bet 60, and I'm going to bet a lot on the river if he doesn't fold now. He calls now. The river's a nine, giving me a pair. I'm also not falling for the trap that I might have showdown value. That's another thing you do when you're not playing your A game. I know that this nine means jack shit. It's actually a good card for me to bluff on. I bet 320 into 240, and he looks at me and takes a long time and folds. And so, that's good. I'm playing like fucking me again a little bit, like Dragon Man, and that's good. It feels good inside, and even if I don't know where the fuck I am whenever I wake up, I'm having moments of people being fucked at the table, and I like that. And wow, the stream watcher, the streamer pro, the guy that used to watch Live at the Bike and now watches Hustler Casino Live on his phone while he plays, and he plays well. I've never seen someone punt, a pro punt this hard. He, it was like three clubs in the flop, and he was out of position to, you know, the British Mike McD. And British Mike McD bet with three clubs on the flop, and he check raised, and the British Mike McD called. And the turn was a fourth club. And he checked, and the British Mike McD bet, and he jammed all in. And the British Mike McD's like, what? I have these clubs. He couldn't believe it. For good reason. You never see someone punt it all off on four clubs. This guy just did. Maybe he just had an aneurysm, and it was really surprising. And I'm, you know, he's okay. He's not good for the game. He doesn't talk. He doesn't do that. He watches shit. He's okay. He's like fairly kind of pleasant, but he plays well. I don't want him in the game, and I was happy to see this. I like the British Mike McD because he's funny, and he straddles and talks and all that. And it's time for a best play nominee. I open. So the straddle, this must be Vlad's time to straddle because he doesn't straddle. Everyone else is straddling. And I open with pocket threes to 30. So just a 5-10 hand, and a grinder who just got bluffed goes to 100. Okay. And I call, and I am out of position to the grinder. And I got pocket threes, and it comes 9-5 deuce with two spades. I check, he checks, and the turn's a queen of spades, and I bet 80, and he calls. So there's already 200 and something in there. I bet about a third of the pot on the turn. He calls. The river's an X. I check to call because he should have a big spade here a lot, whatever. Well, now he overbets, right? And here is when I overbet in this situation, I have dog shit. But when anyone else, not anyone else, but the vast majority of pros at this level overbets the river. They fucking have it. They played something tricky. He has ace queen. He at the worst, he might have fucking pocket queen. I don't know what he has, but he has something very strong. Maybe he turned a flush, and you can talk yourself into this is polarized. This makes no sense. You check back the flop and call my small bet in the turn, and now you're overbetting. Well, that's something. Just because you would do it doesn't mean they would do it, and I folded, and I felt really good. That's another thing you can do is talk yourself into a hero call against someone who takes a weird line and bets a lot on the river, but they don't bluff like that. So it was good. And now I'm the 20, so it's 5, 10, 20. And before we get into this hand history, that 2-5 table I was at, now there's issues there. Floor has to come over. There's lots of yelling. Who saw this coming? Anyways, I have 5-3 offsuit, and I just check my option. People limp in, whatever. Ace 10-5 with two clubs, and we check. And the turn is the four of clubs. And the Venetian grinder, he used to play at the Venetian. He was a poker course one night at the Encore, and now he's here. He fires in a spot where it's interesting to fire on ace, 10, 5, 4, two clubs. It seems like a draw. So I call with the 5-3 offsuit and the river's a jack of clubs. I check, and now he totally shifts. He instead of forceful bet, now he goes to a value size. And so he made a flush, and I don't know if I told the hand history well, but I made another good fold. And sound guy, what is up with this pop blocker, man? Sorry about that. It has to be lined up with the microphone. Fuck me. Great sound. Jesus. Okay. So now I open blind versus blind. I open king seven again, but this time I'm suited. Kevin against the British Mike McD. And he three bets, and I just call here. And I flop. What did I flop? I flop top pair. You know, no kicker, obviously. I check. Feign weakness and call. And the turn gives me a backdoor flush draw. I check. Feign weakness and call. And the river gives me a flush. And I feign weakness. And he goes all in. And I snap. And he says, you got it. So what happened here? I got a nice double up from my best opponent at the table. And is it just because I opened and he was going to always barrel? No. People aren't always going to barrel. You sell shit. You do it like very subtly, and you make it look like you have to fold. You do little things with the way you check that most people do when they don't want someone to jam. And I don't know. It's hard to explain. It's fucking white magic, whatever you want to call it. But it was nice to get that double up. And then I made quads. I had pocket threes and multi-way bloater, and it came 8-8-5, and no one bet. And the turn was a three, and I bet. And the river was another three, and I played it pretty well. I bet very small. I didn't think my opponent had an eight, and if he does, he's going to be inclined to raise here when I bet very small on the river, and that's going to be good. Well, he does raise. He goes to 510. This is a poker pro that, you know, was straddling, and he was pretty, you know, social, and he goes to 5-10, and I just snap go all in here because stacks would make sense to go all in with an 8, I guess, you know, whatever. He's not fully an 8, and he snap folded. And I said, I had a lot of 8s. I don't know, just to like, well, I just say dumb shit. And he said, you had a lot of 3s. And I don't know if when I mucked my cards that they got exposed or he just fucking was able to read that. That would be weird if he was able to read I had quad 3s. You know, maybe he did. Who knows? But it was nice that I was able to induce a $510 bluff on the river. I just bet really small with my quads because it just made sense. If someone has an 8, they're going to raise, and you can induce, and you can get called by fucking ace high and so on. And I don't know. I liked that. I was in the zone. I was kind of mad scientist mode on this night, and I'm running over the table now. And we're all drinking. And well, me and Sam, of course, have been drinking the whole time. And I just start ordering. I say, you know, the waitress was struggling a little bit on the side. I said, just bring everyone here a Corona. Give her $20. Bring everyone here a Corona. Give her $20. You know, bring me and Sam some cocktails. Here, $10. And I was just doing the old school live pro shit. Our game's the game. I mean, it's always the game. Unless I'm in a fucking stink mood. My game's always the game. It's the fun one. It's the one no one's leaving. It's the one people think they have an edge in that they don't. It's or maybe they don't care because it's fun and joking and fucking drinking and cheersing and God, it's nice to be me again, a little bit at least. And it's nice to, you know, make a flush, a backdoor flush and make quads. But yeah. And now Sam says, I have a lot of chips in front of me. And he says, come on, give action, mate. And I said, man, you have no idea. And the dealer in the box is just, this woman dealer's been there forever. And she says, he has no idea. And I thought that was pretty funny. Like, you don't got to say that shit to me, man. And so I opened 6-4 offsuit and he three bets. And I know he's going to make a play. And so is 6-4 the best hand to defend? No, but if I flop something, you know, I could win a big pot. Flop comes 4-3-3. He bets 1,000, like a massive overbet. And I just call. and the turn's a four, and he goes all in, and I call, turn on my hand. I don't think he had anything, and I'm just fucking crushing this game. And then the dealer I used to know comes in the box, and yeah. And now, suddenly, all my spew is met with jams. Everything that was working all night is no longer working. All my draws are breaking. When they have draws, they're rivering. Showdown value. It's just like a fucking switch was flipped. And most importantly, Vladimir. This gentleman who was born in Russia but lives here. He says, this is my country. He was awesome. And he would tell the British worm, watch his language sometimes, just when he was getting a little too drunk and loud. It was great. It was a fucking fun table. Well, he's reached his tipping point. I've bluffed him so many times. I don't take, you know, I'm taking notes on everything. I've bluffed him so many times with overbets, and finally, he called one. And it was, you know, I bet 900 into like 400 with air, and he finally called with top pair. And you just got to know, I kind of felt it before I bet that 900. And maybe my image wasn't great for it because I just am hemorrhaging chips. But it was, he took a long time and he almost folded and decided to call. And so he's reached his tipping point where he's the opposite of bluffable now. And now he's someone you take to value town. And I'm down $4,000. Since this dealer I used to know got in the box. Holy shit. And they are only in there for 30 minutes. And it's time for my best play after a sip of water. So, it's blurry at this point. Been drinking heavily with pretty much everyone at the table, and especially with my boy Sam, the British worm. And it's getting blurry. And he puts on the 80. 5, 10, 20, 40, 80. Yeah, that's just normal in games I play in. And, you know, he's cut from the same cloth as I am. He's just way younger. And I've been there. I've been the Mike McD. I've been the worm. I don't know what I am now. I'm not the Kanish. I'll never be the fucking Kanish. Maybe I'm the Teddy KGB now. Who knows? But I've been there, is what I'm saying. And I put on the 80, too. And anyways, 5, 10, 20, 40, 80. I have ace 5 offsuit in the cutoff, and I open to 200. I think this is reasonable. It's I do have a good player on my left, but he's tried to, you know, I have the psychological edge against him because I've bluffed him successfully, and then I've induced a huge double up from him, and he's just gonna, and he, you know, he has to worry about the fucking five people in the blinds too, and so he just can't really exploit me opening wide in the cutoff. And ace five offsuit, I open to 200. Okay, he folds. Vladimir goes to 510 in the small blind, and it quickly clears out to me, as it should. This is a fucking monster. So fold your ace five offsuit, right? Well, think beyond that. Think beyond, I have bad hand, dominated ace. He has very good hand. He could be dominating me. I should fold. Think beyond that. I went to 200 and he went to 510 from the worst position. Is this ace king, ace queen, ace jack? Is this one of the hands I really don't want to see, right? It could be aces. But fuck, if it is, it is, right? But it's not ace king. It's not ace queen. It's not ace jack. If it were a young pro, sure, you can just give him a range. But this sizing, 5'10", this sizing is almost exactly pocket kings every single time. When I'm holding the ace, I'm blocking aces, it's just almost kings every single time. And so I'm going to call 310 more in position. Why? Well, before I might do it because I can bluff kings on some run. Nope, I don't think I can bluff kings, but I do think it's worth calling 310 more because then, you know, I can already win the 700 and whatever out there. And he's got over 2K behind. And so sometimes when people have kings, an ace flops. And so if you think he might have ace king, or you just got to get rid of your dumb hand, right? But you just ace five off. No, because I do know what he has. He has pocket kings. I know it. I fucking know it. I put the 310 in there instead of folding, right? Because I'm thinking beyond he good hand, me hand, shitty, fold. No, he definitely good hand, but he had kings. Ace five offsuit against kings, it's not great, but it's worth putting in 310 more when there's already 700 something out there and over 2,000 behind effective. And so that's my best play. It doesn't matter what happens, it is fucking calling preflop with ace five offsuit after opening it two. It's just good. It's just really thinking critically about a hand, even though shit is blurry. And yeah, the flop comes down ace, nine, deuce, two hearts. So I flopped the ace that I wanted. And we have, you know, what, 1,100 in the pot. And Vlad fires 1,200. Was I wrong? Does he have ace king? Does he have pocket aces? Nope. He's just someone who plays very conservatively. But he's also an older man that's probably been through a ton of shit in his life. And he's got pride. And he's sick of me fucking pushing him around just in hands. I was very nice to him and respectful in all other ways. But he's sick of that. And he reached his tipping point. And after when he called it off, that was it. So then you have to shift who you're playing against. I'm not playing against scared money anymore. I'm playing against proud money now. And so this 1,200, he's got like 900 and something behind. I'm gonna feign a little bit of weakness, and then I'm going to call because I don't want him to think about folding for that last 900. And the turn is an X, so ace nine deuce two hearts turns X of hearts. He jams his 900. I snap it off, and the river is another heart, and he turns over two kings with the king of hearts. Motherfucker, this dealer got the best of me. There's over 5K in the middle there. I was 87% on the flop when it was decided all the money was going in. You got to win those if you want to come up. If your only stream of income is poker. Luckily for me, I do fucking nine other things. So who gives a shit? I still book a little win. I played 5 hours and I won 1 month's rent at the granny flat, which I'm not paying anymore, hopefully. I got to be out of here. But I was up. I was up probably my biggest win on this since I started this podcast, and I got whacked in the last half hour, and, you know, things started to go poorly. I started running into it, right? It's crazy how it feels like a switch has been flipped, right? And this is why they say, like, that dealer always kills me, you know? It's like, it felt like that. And then we played it. It was big, 5-10, 20, 40, 80. I opened 200. Vlad goes to 5-10. Well, if he goes to bigger, I can fold because it's ace king. There is ace king in there. And but no, I just know it's kings. And I call, and I just, this guy that was scared money went to proud money, and I was able to get, you know, all the money. And the pot's over 5K. I'm 87%. I lose it. Whatever, man. I got other shit going on. It'll be okay.
Sessions is brought to you by Poker Rags. Poker Rags, we dress poker players. Sessions is also brought to you by the Hustler Casino in Los Angeles. Lowest rake, best food, and craziest action in town. If you would like to have access to every drop of Sessions, over 700 of them and counting, plus access to my other podcast, Solicited Advice Podcast, and or you want to be a part of the sick as fuck community I'm building, DGAF community, head on over to patreon.com/DGAF poker player and sign up to become a patron today.